Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are into Thanksgiving festivities. Whether you're in your first slice of pumpkin or your second slice of pecan, or whether you're making the turkey tetrazzini by now or the turkey soup, we are, you know, trying to celebrate leadership here. And I tell you what, Bill Cole from Cole Roofing's here. And I totally blame you for the whole Baltimore Positive movement here when you said to me a couple years ago, hey, you know, you had Eric Sauer and those guys on from There Goes My Hero. You should do more of that kind of stuff and have more community stuff on. And that led to politicians and Don Mohler and arts people and rock stars and Judas Priest coming on next month and everything else. But leadership's where this is at. And I know you and I love football. You and I love sports. I didn't really want to talk so much more about the loss to Tennessee or the COVID situation here. But the one thing, whenever you and I have talked football this year, we've talked about COVID and the Ravens. And because of the Ravens' pedigree, Harbaugh being there, Dick Cass running the place, the building being what it is, the kinds of employees they've had, the continuity they've had as an organization, going back to Art Modell and David Modell, that maybe they would navigate this better. And then this week happened, right? So
yeah, well, I mean, number one, I still haven't decided whether I'm willing to actually take credit for the Baltimore Positive concept.
No, no, blame and credit. You get both.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. We'll let that play out for a little while. But I think when you look to the Ravens, you look at a organization that has sort of unending resources, right? So if anybody can manage this, it should be them. It's similar to the casinos in Vegas, right?
In that 100 people come in the building, you set up a test site at the front, and that's what you do. And that and the league has enough money to do it all day, every day, test people twice a day, right? And they
right.
are.
Right. And it, right, if you are incentivized.
Because they're making a little more money than Cole Roofing or WNST, correct.
Right. If you're incentivized to keep your product rolling, like, that's the thing. And, you know, it just doesn't seem to matter. We are squarely caught, as has been the case since March, between people telling you what to do and people accepting that.
No. People practice. Believing what they want to believe and believing truth. The one thing that I have realized in this, Billy, as we're sitting here on Thanksgiving weekend and we're locked down and Mohler can't spend time with his grandkids, like all of this is going on, right? Every scientist in the world told us in January, have told us for 25 years, don't have a pandemic, don't have a viral condition, don't have a plague. A plague would be a very bad idea on this continent. Don't let it come here. Ebola, we went through all of this, HIV, and all of blood boring, all of these things we can give each other. We've lived with 50 years of this, and we were told, don't F with this. Don't F with this. And back in March, everyone said, don't F with this. Fauci's like, oh, my God, we'll have a second wave. If it gets into the country this summer, it'll come back. It'll be even worse next year. We won't have a vaccine. And here we are. Literally everything the doctors told us, we have either ignored wholly, partly, some of the way, looked the other way on guys playing in the mud all day on Thanksgiving and breathing on each other, because that's okay, because they're making money. They're essential. So we really have learned a lot here over the last 6 months, haven't we?
Again, it comes back to the preface about leadership. You started that whole statement with, here we are in lockdown again. And that's not true, right? There is no stay-at-home order. So the message is confusing to the masses. Like, Hogan.
Well, the message is you should stay home. No one has ever told you you should go out.
That's fine.
That it's
a
good idea. People have taken, you must stay home. And then the people are like, oh, you won't tell me what to do. I'm American. I'm free. And then there's, well, we're not going to tell you have to stay home because you're from South Dakota and you won't listen to us anyway. So we will just say it's really important. God wants you to stay home. The doctors want you to stay home. The government wants you to stay home. The police want you to stay home. Well, I'm going to see Cousin Eddie. What's in the freezer? You know, like that's America, and I think we've.
But for free thinkers, right?
And I think you and I are pretty free thinkers.
I think we are, and what I'm telling you is the fact that there was a stay-at-home order in April, and there isn't one now, That creates confusion.
It's political fear that did that. It's political and economic fear.
I understand that.
It's not doctors. The doctors would say, shut it down or lots of you will die. And the one thing I don't think any of us really realized, and the dumbass in the White House who's leaving, never really looked at the long tail of this, is what it really was going to do to the economy, right? Like they're bragging about the stock market, and every place in this country we got food lines. It's a very incongruent message that we've become accustomed to over the last 4 years, that the stock market is the barometer. Your freedom is the most important thing, not the society. They don't think like this in Asia, Billy. I mean, you know that. I've been there and experienced it. They just don't think like that. They think about other people. The whole idea of this plague was to say you're wearing a mask to protect your grandmother. That message didn't catch on. Grandmom's dead, and that message still hadn't caught on.
And my problem is currently the messaging is still confusing. Like,
well, look at the leader. Look at the guy that was talking about bleach.
But it's every.
They got 70 million votes.
It's leadership at every level.
It's incredible.
Okay. It's leadership at every level because the majority of the people in this state don't really care what the bleach guy said.
Larry already said from the beginning, this is serious. I'm going to South Korea. My wife's helping.
I know.
Larry has taken this. Dare I say, like a rhino. He's almost been like a Democrat because he's made sense because he's told people this can kill you.
Listen,
Mitch McConnell has not told people that. Lindsey Graham has not told people that. Ted Cruz is like, come on over Thanksgiving.
I mean, Rand Paul, man. Go look at what Rand Paul's saying.
Rand Paul's a doctor.
Go look at what he's saying. I listened to him try and make the case to not wear masks. It was pretty interesting. Literally in the last week.
Well, you knowing what you know now. Tell me about your business, about Cold Roof, because back in February, you have 100 some odd employees, and they're all along the political spectrum and all along lifestyle and where they live and whether they have kids and ages. In February, the plague comes down, and then all of us, and I remember the first time you and I got together back in March, I go find the video. We were younger then. My hair was shorter then. And we talked about how everyone's going to interpret this differently and that the message has to be crystal clear, and it just wasn't. It just wasn't. I mean, the President of the United States pissed all over Anthony Fauci repeatedly because Fauci was telling him and his audience something he didn't believe, didn't understand, didn't want to believe, certainly didn't want to pitch down the river to business in the country. So we've been lied to, Bill. I mean, that, you know, that's I right, haven't
but,
been lied to because I believe
but they
the
shut
truth.
It down. But they shut it down. People went home. We stopped everything. Okay. So whether it was at
and
the
it didn't work is what your point
with the
is.
Mess. No. I think it did work. I mean, I think like Google can show you the maps, right? Like the activity from everybody's phones. And nobody went anywhere except for the grocery store. Now, nobody, that's a relative term, right? But if you look at the movement of people, it was significantly down. The problem that they
so
have
much
right
so
now,
that the emissions on the planet went down
right,
this year.
Right, so, right, yes. Right. The problem we have right now is that it's inconsistent messaging. Because I think if you go talk to the doctors, this is much more dangerous right now than it was in April.
Oh my God, it's everywhere.
It is everywhere. And
now we do have like a little cocktail we can throw in you to maybe keep you alive.
Understand.
You know what I mean?
Like, yes, maybe less die as a percentage, right? Like maybe less people die as a percentage of people infected. Number one, we're testing way more. So all these people who had it in April that we just didn't even know because they were asymptomatic or they had the sniffles. So the percentage of people dying as a whole will go down. But you tell people not to travel, you tell people all these things, but it doesn't match the fear from April. Like the restaurants are still open, not a good idea. Maybe let's less, you know, we'll lower the number of people. The gyms are still open, the barbershops are still open, you know, all these things that were like the point of the spear back in April. We have to shut all that down.
Well, there's been a whole economy and a whole political movement to make people not afraid to go out when they probably should be. So that has happened. So what you're saying is there's not a message. Bill, I strongly disagree with you that everyone knows they're supposed to stay home. Like they really, every doctor, every smart person in their life, everybody medical. I mean, I have a friend right now who's a nurse who's battling COVID. Where did she get it? She's a nurse, right? And what happens when all of them get it? And I think that that's the real concern over the next 30 days is what happens to the medical community when we run out of beds and we run out of human beings to care for human beings. And having watched my wife live in a hospital for the better part of 2 years, that's really scary, dude. That's a really scary proposition.
I'm not advocating for a stay-at-home order. What I'm advocating is for better communication, because I hear you. You think people know
people
they should
go
stay
and
at home.
Get the information they want. They say, I heard it over here. You know, the OANN network said, come have the grandkids over. There's no one in mainstream media. There's no one in mainstream society. There's no one from Joe Biden who got more votes, by the way. There's Larry Hogan, who's a Republican, but a rhino. Maybe that goofball Congressman Harris, maybe he's the last guy saying Trump won the election and, you know, we don't have to wear a mask and it's safe for 20 or 30 of you to get together, just not 100 of you this week. I don't know what to say, man. If you are of that mindset, if you vote red, went to Hershey for Donald Trump's thing, if you have five flags on your lawn, you are going to listen to the person that tells you it's okay to do what you want. And I guess that's what I've learned over the last year in watching all of this.
I agree.
It's been a costly lesson for our country, but it's even a more costly lesson now where you will absolutely see the Google Maps show over the river and through the woods on Wednesday night, Friday morning. The airports were packed on Sunday. No one's listening. Everyone's heard the truth. Everyone has heard the truth, Bill. Everyone. Now, whether you believe it or don't, or you just want to say, Vegas, snake eyes, you know, like that's, I think that's where we are now, where I've been home so long, I'm just going to go out, and if I get it, I'll be one of the 96% that don't die, and I'll throw up and I'll poop myself, and, you know, maybe I'll have a heart murmur later, but it's okay, because I got to go have turkey this weekend.
I agree, and I do believe it's the whatever.
How's will that happen for nasty nester? You brought the old school out me today, brother.
Whatever will happen will happen. I get it. I agree that that is the mentality. All I'm speaking to is, as a leader, right now, the actual message is we're going to try and play this game differently than we did in April, right? Because I don't want to tell the barbershop people that they can't open, because we can't afford to have more people out of work. But you are putting yourself at risk if you go out. And the message earlier this week was about creating enforcement units that are going to go out and, you know, crack down on the bars.
Boy, that was really unpopular with the Larry voters, right? I mean, literally, like,
no,
that's a political thing. I'm okay with it because I want to go out and have baseball in the spring. I want the Preakness to be here. I want my business to be here next year. I want your business to be here next year. I want people to be employed and alive next year. So I am all for cracking down. You know, I mean, I'm an authoritarian all of a sudden when it comes to this, but it's not going to matter because no one's going to listen.
Let me pitch it slightly different. Rather than authoritarian, why isn't it a coaching/training group that says, let me come into your business and let me help make sure you're operating it as safely as you can? Because I realize that you've never run your business in the middle of a pandemic. So how about we come in and we say, you know what? Those tables are too close together. Let's spread them out a little bit. Not, here's a $50,000 fine and you're shut down for 6 months. You know what I mean? Like, that's the opposite of what
we should
have right now.
Well, I think the optics of Larry's press conference, and with Johnny O as well, by the way, Melissa Hyatt, a guest of Baltimore Positive, their idea was educational. Of course, some people, you know, in Fox 45, it's a crackdown. I mean, it's literally where the messaging comes from, right? Right. And it's never been more clear than now that in the middle of a plague, we have turned science into, a hot potato.
Control, power, control. That's what we've used the science
for. Well, and economics as well, because I have many friends that own bars that want to remain open, even though they don't want their kids going to school. You know what I mean? So there's a little bit of all that. And the notion of getting the schools open is an incredible thing for me, that every time I hear that and I hear it, and I think it's the toughest potato of all of them, right? Schools opening. I think I could sit here all day and bring on guest after guest, and they literally would change my mind. from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock, because I understand societally the long term, we got to get kids together and we got to have socialism and all that. Then I think about opening these schools and having them really be what kills us. Putting kids together that bring it home to grandmom, teachers getting sick. I mean, all of that. Right. So I am grave, school bus drivers. I mean, we've been through all of this, right? Right.
Let me respond.
Go for it.
So first, just in regards to the groups that Hogan and Johnny O and all them are putting out, they didn't call them the support staff. They called them the enforcement group. Okay. If it's all about how you choose to engage with the people, if you're hoping to get compliance, if you send out the enforcement group, that's not breeding an aspect of government and community coming together to overcome.
Being in line would be up to you if you own the bar to say, I need the money so bad that I'm going to open up my business for my customers to come in and provide risk to each other and to me and my staff and to the future of my business. So that's what I'm thinking. If I own a bar and I pass these places all day and I know so many bar owners, and then that would really come down to the bar owner saying, do I believe that this is dangerous? And if the bar owner doesn't really believe it's dangerous, a bunch of cops coming in and the state feds coming in with enforcement is not going to convince them that you've done anything but wreck their business. And again, I'm all along the political space because I see all these LinkedIn's and I see everyone's messaging.
Which is fine.
But you hate the word enforcement, right?
It's not that I hate the word. It's the approach. The approach was penalty.
The approach is you're breaking the law and you know it. You know this isn't good. You know it's not safe intuitively. But there are people that intuitively have that really don't believe this is a thing.
Correct. So if as a leader, we acknowledge that we have an extremely confused group because they listen to different channels and the information is all crap, right?
How do you unconfuse them then?
You support them, not enforcement. It's not about collecting penalty money, right, to fill the coffers. It's not about trying to and wanting to shut you down. It's about giving you the support to try and run your business during a pandemic.
Fair enough. I don't know that the government's equipped to do that. They weren't equipped to get testing. I mean, we look out the window. If I look out my window right now, out this window down, it's the convention center. I see the line wrapped around every day.
It's the same methodology that everyone's talking about with the police, right? We don't not want police. We want better police, right? We want better trained police who are out in the community, supporting the community, not running around looking for people to lock up. It's the same concept. It's just the hammer. And that isn't what, I mean, it's the first time anybody's ever run a business in a pandemic. It's the first time. And now, rather than tell everybody to stay home like we did in April, now we're telling them, hey, we got to try and live with this a little bit here.
You got to spend some money with Bill and with State Fair. You got to order some ice cream from Tahoe.
We got to do something. People need to make a living. So let's try and figure out a way to navigate it together. And that's not what's happening, right? That's the most disappointing part.
Bill Cole's here. He's Cole Roofing. We don't usually fight like this on the holidays. I almost feel like I'm over your house at Thanksgiving. Hold the fork up. Hold the spoon up.
This is healthy.
Passing you green beans and some shallots and some stuff.
I want to go back to the schools too, right? Because
I want to go back to football, but go ahead.
You transition to schools. I think the fact that the kids aren't in school is questionably criminal, and someone will need to own this down the road because we are creating a generation of kids who we don't fully understand what the consequences are. And if you look at all the money that has come out of the federal government and no one figured out a way to put that money to the education of the kids, that's criminal. That's criminalness. Like, you can do this. My kids have been in school 5 days a week since September. Not a single kid's got the COVID. Not a single teacher's got the COVID. We've had plenty of scares. We've had plenty of classes have to shut down for a week and go virtual because so-and-so was close contact with so-and-so.
But when you mention going virtual, once you go virtual, and that's where, and we're all going to be virtual at some point in life. I mean, I'm a virtual worker, you're virtual, you know, it's not a hardship for the kids to work virtually here unless they don't have a device or they don't have Wi-Fi.
It sucks,
right?
Pretty bad. It sucks pretty bad.
Right. So in America, where we put people on the moon 50 years ago, if we can't get Wi-Fi, you know, into West Baltimore, shame on our society. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
Like, that's
definitely
a bear. And again, that's running water and that's heat in the schools and all the things that Aaron Maben's talked about and all that. But in the middle of this pandemic, we have this thing called Wi-Fi and we have this thing called technology. And the first thing should have been, we're not going to not be educating our kids. Let's take care of the kids first. Let's get them. Let's get the teachers where they need to be. Let's get the Wi-Fi lined up. Get them back to school so mom and dad can worry about paying bills.
Right. So mom and dad can go to work.
Yeah.
It's all about the jobs, right? It's all about being able to feed your family. But the way you do that is you, in addition, right? It's like this, these two pillars that intersect. We have to educate, right? And while we're educating, we get to go to work. So why wouldn't that be where the focus is? The idea that in April, I started saying this, and I will take this one to my grave. Google, Apple, Microsoft, Amazon. You're telling me that those companies don't have enough money and don't give away enough money every year to put a $300 laptop in the hands of every kid in America? You're damn right they can. And then on top of that, you're telling me.
So you're saying, like, in 1941, when the Germans, the Japanese are ganging up on us, my old man comes down from Scranton. He couldn't feed himself in the 30s, chicken in every pot, Herbert Hoover, and comes down to Martin Marietta, and, you know, they're building things to win a war. And we talked about PPE here at length back in April and May. It's still a problem in this country 7 months later.
Hold on. I'm not. I also need AT&T, Verizon, Comcast, all these big media players, right? You're telling me that they can't put Wi-Fi into all these communities? You're telling me that we can't using what's the Wars Act that lets you take over companies? I'm demanding that for 12 months, it's free Wi-Fi, right? Get people to sign. Like, there's business cases here too, right? Get people to sign up at the end of 12 months. You get to ding their credit card or whatever. You give out the free laptops. It's got Amazon preloaded on it. You're going to, you know what I mean? Like you can do that. Like,
probably got the new U2 album on it too, if I remember.
Cell phone, right. There you go. Cell phones were free, right? They gave you a cell phone because they wanted you to buy the monthly service. Like, this is how our country let us down. These big companies, you know, it's cool that everybody's buying and shipping all their stuff from Amazon. Amazon's going through the roof and the stock price has never been higher. Well, you know, like, step up. And you don't have to do it alone, right? Like, put pressure on the other big boys to step up. I don't know. I'll never understand and won't always be disappointed that didn't happen.
Boy, it's really, you know, from last Thanksgiving, you and I getting together to this Thanksgiving, we're all taking stock. I know you got some Calvert Hall in you. You got some football. Thanksgiving's such a football holiday, right? And I think it's really the reason football's the number one sport in the country. I've always said that because we all stop, we gather, we get focused, and then the playoffs happen, and then we're all stuck at home in January. What the hell else is there to do? Then they play the Super Bowl, and everybody gets together. And we've been doing that all of our lives. And this Thanksgiving and the Ravens being in the middle of this is where all of this started. You mentioned things that are going on and things that are stopping or things that we're trying to pretend nothing's happening. Just the fact that the NFL has played up until this point, and I've talked to a lot of people in Pittsburgh, I had Rod Woodson on this week, and talking about they're now hitting the rocks where all of this happened to the Ravens in the short week, in the biggest rivalry in the sport, on Thursday night up in Pittsburgh at Thanksgiving, and they're going to make the Ravens go up there and play like a wounded war battalion, right? I mean, the Ravens are going to go up there and play with minor league football players on Thursday, and the league's going to sanction it. And the one thing that I've talked about with sports for 3 months now, with baseball, which neither you or I watched very much of, was the Eddie Fainter All-Stars. It was a tournament. It wasn't for real, that there's an asterisk with the Dodgers, because it wasn't really like a season. It was just a thing. And football's managed to keep the integrity of this together. I don't know, man. When the Ravens are going up to Pittsburgh and playing without 10 guys
and
on 3 days rest in a game they probably shouldn't be – I mean, they shouldn't be playing football 3 days apart. I've always said that. Sure. That this – you know, the integrity of what they're doing starts to fall apart a little bit for me.
Well, we've had a typical season of injuries, right, that you would just normally accept. So by default, where we are today is kind of like – man, I think we can win, but, you know, like if we lose, like we don't have our left tackle and we don't have half our defensive line. And like, you kind of understand why you're struggling, right? Like your best players are on the sideline.
Those are the teams that usually don't win the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You put COVID on top of that. And it's almost like a preseason sort of defeatist. I don't really care what happens. I also, not that I want to begin the conspiracy, but I might just have to. Like, I don't think it's coincidence that our COVID outbreak is happening right after playing Tennessee. Like, they were the first team with the problem. The NFL came in, found out that they weren't doing any of the protocol that the other teams were doing. Mike Vrabel, yeah, not long for him. Can't wait for him to go. Part of that whole Belichick cheating, just smug, you know, like – thank goodness John Harbaugh is my coach, right?
Well, by the way, Harbaugh came out when they were in the middle, and we began this whole conversation with leadership, right?
Right.
And you saw the same thing I saw. John Harbaugh looking to fight 80 guys.
Well, so here's my take on all that. Number one, I think it's great that – not great. I think it's smart. I think Vrabel's smart, right? In empty stadiums, these football games are weird. It's really hard to get the energy, right? You know, it doesn't feel the same. So what did he do? He said, let's go pick a fight, right? Like, we beat these guys in the playoffs. We own this house. Let's go let them know what's up. John comes out recognizing the disrespect that's occurring and recognizing the juice that Tennessee was getting out of that posture. And he tried to bring it back to his team. And I don't think any of our players were catching what he was throwing down. Like, how is it that they're dancing on our logo and John is the only one, you know, marching out there to get him off the logo?
Well, John thinks about that stuff. I don't think Lamar cares about that stuff.
And it's totally goofy and silly, and I get it. It's just a logo, and it's the field and all that. But like, if you don't stand for anything, what do you stand for?
Well, it's part of who John is and right. Like, who his player. I mean, literally, I've known John 15 years now. I you know, like, yeah, I see John is very much his gym and burring up, and yeah. I know their dad. And, yeah, and I would see that – but the whole piece of this is really off for me. You know, all of it. You know, Lamar trying to stand back in the pocket and throw the football. Them drafting to be a running team, and now they kind of want to pass, and they got this chippy little midget out on the outside trying to, you know, he's upset that he's not getting the ball. Then he gets the ball, and he's going to pop off. And leadership, importing leadership from Mark Ingram or importing leadership from Calais Campbell or trying to import leadership from Earl Thomas – I don't know where that's going to come from, but I don't know what kind of leader Marlon Humphrey is. I don't know what kind of leader Orlando Brown Jr. is. I don't know what kind of leader Mark. I don't know. I mean, I'm not in the locker room, right? I would ask them that. If Eric DaCosta was here, I'd say, who is going to lead you on Thursday night into Pittsburgh? Now you had your ass kicked, half your team's gone. Your coach went out there and fought with the team that's now kicked your ass twice. Like, this is starting to be bad optics all the way around for the franchise, and things aren't going to go well. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl here. I don't think they're comprised as such, but I do think there's a part of this where I didn't like the fight I saw on Sunday as a team, and I don't think John liked it either.
I totally agree. That's where I'm at. Like, I'm not too hung up on the outcome, right? Like, if we don't go to the Super Bowl, unlike last year where I think we were kind of like preparing for that, I don't see that in my future, right? Well, not to mention that Lord only knows what that situation will really be like.
I threw away my Super Bowl credential request. I mean, it was due on the 18th of November. I got it, and I looked at it on the 16th. I looked at it on the 17th, and then I just said, I'm not going to Tampa in February. Who the hell am I kidding? You know, like, I'm just not, you know? So fair enough. So I
don't have
no Super Bowl for me.
Right. So I don't have big expectations. But what I do require for me to tune in and for me to, like, be a vested, interested fan is you got to have fight. And Tennessee gave you the opportunity to rally the troops, right, and say, well, not on my home field, right? Like, you're not going to come in here and disrespect us. We're going to come out and we're going to punch you in the face, and people are going to play better than they normally do.
And they did, by the way. They had a 10-point lead.
And right, but you didn't finish. And I agree with you. I think there's a business aspect to it that lacks sort of like the we're all in this together, like family mantra that usually exists in the Super Bowl teams.
By the way, it's really hard to do when John wants to go kick their ass on Monday and say, what the hell were you doing, man? You didn't even come out and have my back. He can't even get the team together. And they have COVID.
He's doing it like this, right?
So, right. So literally,
they're tuning him
out. Whatever the message is at this point, it's, you know, see you at 8 o'clock on Thursday night. Don't eat too much turkey, right? Like, and now they're going to go play a football game this way, and it's going to check matter, right? Like that it's fair, or that it's good, or it's equitable, because you're be a man. We're man's franchise, and you know we play hurt, we play rain, snow, whatever. So you know we'll go up there and whatever it is, but it's not a good optic for the league, because these are not injuries. This is a contagious injury,
right?
And there are no Someone asked on Twitter on Wednesday morning. They said, all right, 9 guys from the Ravens organization. Well, what's the magic number? Is it 12? Is it 15? Is it what's the number that says we shouldn't play football Thursday night? The number is probably 48 million homes that will be watching the game. So we don't care if you have to, you know, go grab Jacoby Jones over Calvert Hall and put him on, in, you know, put him out there. We don't care who's out there. It's just make sure they have purple uniforms and the uniform police, that everything's tied up, and we'll go play football Thursday, because we're making too much money on Thursday night playing this game to really worry about the integrity of, like, the competition.
I totally agree. I mean, I think it has the makings of being a very lopsided affair, and it's been a long time since I feel like I've said that. Like, even when we were bad, I never felt like we might get blown out. We might get blown out. And to your point, I don't believe there's a number that in any way, like, there's no opportunity to cancel this game. It is not going to happen. Right? Like, it's just not even an option. Just like it appears.
What if 20 guys pop on Thanksgiving morning?
It appears just like the government has decided that we will not issue a stay-at-home order, no matter how bad the numbers are. And I'm telling you, Ness, a friend of mine said this to me last week, and it has not, I haven't been able to shake it out of my head, right? You look at the numbers and you go from 100 to 200, from 200 to 1,000, you go from 1,000 to 2,000, we're at 3,000 now. If in 2 weeks it's 20,000 a day, like, what are we going to do? Like, I don't know if that's really possible, but like.
Oh, it's absolutely possible. Yeah, we keep touching, like, each other. Here,
right,
so, here, touch, here, yeah, right. Go ahead.
So what are we going to do then? And are they going to do stay at home then? Because to me, like, that's this. It's like, we're not going to cancel this. They've got practice squad guys. They've got this. They've got that. They'll sign people this week. We got to go play. Okay, that's this week. Fine. But it's, in theory, it's only going to get worse next week. And it's only going to get worse the next week after that. So And they don't appear to want to bubble up, because they would have bubbled up. They should have bubbled up from the beginning.
But they wouldn't be free. Can't be free in a bubble.
I
always say that like George Bush, by the way, because when I think free, got to be free.
I think that's a
when I hear free, I hear it in a Texas accent.
That's interesting.
I do.
There's some sort of deep seated.
No. I just think that everybody has a different that word.
Yes.
You go ask 100 people. So it's a bad word to use. I mean, it's a word that everybody defines differently. It might as well be Esperanto, you know?
I agree.
Bill,
I agree.
I tell you what, man, I love you. I got to run because I'm up against my clock. You're up against your clock.
Yeah.
Stay safe, man. I wish we were supposed to be more positive today, but we are trying to be positive. We're trying to make it so we can go to opening day next year. Make it so we can go to football games next year. Make it so no one else dies. Like, that's really –
Again,
that should be the message, right?
Yes. And the message is that we do have enough data at this point that if you wear a mask, you stay socially distant, use your hand sanitizer, and if you're sick, stay home, right? Like if you just did that, I think you're doing your part, right? Like,
fair enough.
you know, maybe don't go see grandma. But like, if you see grandma, for God's sakes, put a mask on.
Have her there, and you be here, and do it on the porch.
Yeah, right, yeah, right, exactly. Right, exactly.
Billy, love you, man. Take care of yourself, your family. Get some turkey. I got some pumpkin pie. My wife's worked up some special magic in there with the sweet potatoes. And oh, by the way, make sure you order the ice cream. And I'm going to give you the tip of the week, okay? And I would show it to you, but it's in my freezer. It would melt if I brought it. They have a sweet potato crumble at Taharka Brothers. Sweet potato crumble. I've never tasted any better. I mean, like, my wife took a bite of it. She snuck it in. They snuck it to her when I picked the ice cream up last week. And she's like, I got two of these. She pulled them out of her jacket. She's like, they snuck them to me. They didn't want you to know. She ate a bite. And in the morning, she said to me, I had a bite of that. You're going to freak out. And I said, let me get some coffee. I had my cold roofing mug. And I took the second bite out. And I got it in my mouth. And I'm like, oh my God, that's like the greatest thing I've ever had. So sweet potato crumble is the name, okay?
I will tell you, there is one food that exists in the entire world that I don't eat, and it is sweet potatoes. I will eat pretty much anything else.
Okay, good. Get the eggnog and the pepper.
Hold on, but based on that description, I'm going to take the leap and try it, right? Because I just am totally willing.
So here's what we're going to do. One, if you're going to order this in the next couple of weeks when you get it, about a month from now, maybe before Christmas, I'll have you get the pine out, you know, or try it on, because I want to see what happens to your face.
All right. Bitter beer. All right. Deal, man. Appreciate
it. Take care of yourself. All right, man. Yep. Stay 6 feet. Brother. Bill Cole, yep. Cole Roofing, and Gordian Energy. He is, he's out there. You can find, I didn't even mention that he's been doing this 101 years. If you have commercial roof space, I had three clients plug him last week, you know, saying CCPC. Oh, he does the roofs over here. So by all means, Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy, and stay safe through the holidays. Here's your public service announcement.
I appreciate it.
Ness at BaltimorePositive.com. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore stuff and safety and turkey, and don't lose to the Steelers by too much anyway.